Today's shir is Masecht Gittin Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah Matame, if somebody is Matame the Truma Tahira that belongs to someone else, and by him doing so, it makes the Truma also to be eaten and edible, because the Halach is that one may not eat Truma Tameya or Hamadama. Or somebody mixes together truma with chulin, and now the value of that truma obviously goes down, because the value of that produce goes down, because since this chulin and truma mix together, and a zar, a yisrael, is not allowed to eat truma, so the only person who's allowed to eat this are kohanim. And since the only people who may eat it are kahanim, it obviously goes down in value. V'amenasech, as somebody makes the wine of somebody else prohibited from drinking, we'll learn different pshatim in the Gemara. The halacha is, if this was done b'shogig, if it was done b'shogig, it's potter, and if he did it, b'mezri's chayiv. And as we've learned, and we'll learn in our sugya, the reason is because this is a hezek shein nikker. In all these cases, even though there has been damage done to the produce that we're looking at, but it's a hezek sheina nikar. It's not something that really can be seen. And therefore, the halacha is hezek sheina nikar in a leshmei hezek, but Chazal were machmer that if he did it b'mezit, he should be responsible. Begins the Gemara Itmar. We learned in the Mishnah about somebody being menasech, the wine of someone else. And the question is, what is the definition of menasech that's said in the Mishnah? Rav Amar menasech mamish. The definition is that somebody took the wine of someone else and he used it for avodah zarah, which of course becomes asur. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says that the halacha is that the what we're speaking about here is ma'ariv, that he mixed it together. Even though the Rishonim point out that in Masechta Avodah Zarah, there's a question, what would be the halacha of that taruvus if you mix tam yenom and regular wine together? Is it asur b'hanah? So, as the Rishonim point out, the easiest way, and the Achronim Noi de Behuda discusses this, that the easiest way of explaining our Mishnah is that we'll explain that our Mishnah is referring to a case that he mixed it together. And even though by mixing it together, the mixing these two wines together, the wine does not become asur b'hanah, but what does happen is that wine cannot be consumed by a Jew. And since it can't be consumed by a Jew, it goes down in value. So ask the Gemara, man d'amar, ma'ariv, Shmuel, who just explained that our Mishnah means with somebody mixed together, stam yenam, and kosher wine. Ask the Gemara, my tamalay am a menasech. The Mishnah used the word menasech. So ask the Gemara, if the Mishnah used the word menasech, why don't we explain it with its simple definition? The menasech means that he was menasech, the wife of Avodah Zarah. Amloch, to which Shmuel respond, menasech, if somebody worshipped Avodah Zarah with this wine, that he won't be chayiv for paying any financial. Because we know there's a rule throughout Shas of Kimelei B'Derabim Menei, that if you do two Averis at the same time, so you're only chayiv for the more serious Avera. Somebody who's Menasech, wife of Avodah Zarah, did the Avera of Avodah Zarah. So he won't be held responsible for any financial loss that he caused. Vidach and Rav, who explains that our Mishnah is actually speaking about somebody who is menasech. What will he do with the question that we just learned about Kimlei b'Derabbanei? Answers the Gemara, he's going to explain as Rabbi Yirmiyah taught us. Dam Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'shas hagbar dekana. At what moment does he become financially responsible from when he took that wine that was not his? And the halacha is that if somebody picks up somebody else's wine with the intention to financially hurt the person, at that moment he's considered a gazlan. But as far as the chiyuv avodah zarah, that doesn't come at shas nisach until the nisach was actually done. And therefore, in order to apply the concept of kimle with the rabbinay, you only could apply it when the two averis come at the same time. Here, since the financial obligation came prior to the avodah zarah, we won't say the concept, we don't apply the concept of kimle mid rabbinay. The pasuk says in hayom ra v'yonis, and the medrash says ma ra, what did they see that caused them v'yonis to run away? It says there are ruchush mitzrayim ra. They saw all the ruchush that the Klai Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim. And the question is, what is pshat in that medrash? So the Mefarshim explained, the Sefer Or HaGaonis explains, that there's a question. We just quoted the concept of Kimle v'Derabbanei. The concept of Kimle v'Derabbanei teaches us that when two punishments come simultaneously, we only give the more serious of the punishment. So the question is, when the Mitzrim were punished by Kriyas Yamsuf, they were doubly punished. They were punished by Gufam, that they perished, and they were punished by Mamayim, that Klai Yisrael got all of their rechush. But why don't we say Kimle with Rabbanei? But he explains that that is only applicable, as we just learned, if both of those come at the same time. Both punishments come simultaneously. But if they don't come at the same time, then there's no issue. Hayom ra v'yonis. As soon as they saw Rechush Mitzrayim, since Klai Yisrael knew that the Mitzrayim were going to perish, they became the owners of that mammon. The mammon became hefker. It became their money. And the misa that the Mitzrayim suffered only came later. And since they didn't come at the same time, that's why the Mitzrayim could have gotten doubly punished. Says the Gemara, according to Rav, who said the definition of Menasach means Menasach Mamish, my tam, loyam ma'arav. And the question that the way the Ksav Sofer and others explained the Gemara's question is that, yes, we were able to come up with an answer. Yes, we were able to come up with an answer why there is no problem of Kimle b'Derabbanei. But even though we were able to come up with an answer why there is no Kimle b'Derabbanei, it's not a simple answer. So why don't we just explain that the Mishnah, why don't we just explain like Shmuel, that it means Ma'arif, and since it means Ma'arif, we wouldn't have any question. Rav says, Ma'arif hayna medama. If we think about what Ma'arif means and we think about medama means, they're really the same. Vidach, so ask the Gemara, that's a fantastic question. Medama means that you mixed two different types of produce together, chulin and truma. And ma'arav means that you mixed regular wine and stam yenam. So indeed, says Rav, there's no reason to have the same case mentioned twice. Vidach. So how will Shmuel defend his position and say that the Mishnah seems to be redundant? Says Shmuel, knasahu. All of these halachas are really a knas, meknas le'yalpinan. The halach is we don't learn one knas from the other knas. And as I saw the Achroinim explain, everybody agrees that all of these cases of our Mishnah represent a knas. The question is, can we learn one knas from another knas? Shmuel is of the opinion that we cannot, and that's why each case had to be mentioned separately. And Rav says that if they're the exact same case, they don't need to be mentioned separately. Ask the Gemara, so according to Rav that we just explained, that if two cases are similar, one can be learned from the other. So the question is, kol hani lamali, why was it necessary to have all the various cases of the Mishnah? Answer the Gemara Tzricha. Every case of the Mishnah represents a unique situation. If the only Mishnah would have spoken about Matama, we couldn't learn anything from it, Truma, because if we're speaking about that somebody made Truma Tamei, have a Mina, then why were Chazal strict? Why did Chazal impose a fine in such a situation, because the master, the legamri, as we said when we learned in the Mishnah, the halacha is that you're not allowed to, that truma that's tameh, no one may consume. So I saw that the Marami Sada asks, the Gemara could have said a different reason why metame is more serious. Because the Torah says, es mishmeres trumasi, and the pasuk of mishmeres trumasi comes to teach us that one has to be careful not to be metame truma. So why didn't the Marami say, because there we're involving an issa deraisa. So Marami Sada says a very bechidish, that the din of a shmeris trumasi, the one has to protect and make sure that the truma doesn't become tameh, is only a rule that was set to kohanim. And he explains, because only kohanim who are allowed to eat truma have the rule that they have to be careful not to let the truma become tameh. Others who don't have that rule, who aren't allowed to eat truma, don't have the rule that they're not allowed to let truma become tameh. Our Mishnah is referring to a case where it was the Yisrael who was metame the truma. If it was a Yisrael who was metame the truma, so then there's no issa deraisa. But as the Gemara said, he made it worthless. The truma have a mina. Why are you going to be held responsible when you make truma tame? Mishun the kamasu l'gamri. You made it worthless. The metame, and if the Mishnah would have said, if the Mishnah speaking about being metame chulin, we also would say that why were Chazal so strict in such a situation? You're not allowed to cause tumah netz Yisrael to become tame. So Rashi explains, because there are perushim, there were people who were careful who lived in netz Yisrahol that only ate chulin b'tahara, and therefore, by you making the chulin tame, you're making it worthless. However, others say that the pshat is because there's a concept that any produce in Eretz Yisrael which could be potentially truma, we're not allowed to make tameh. And therefore, this produce, which potentially could be truma, we're not allowed to make tameh. And as I saw, the Divrei Yecheskel explains, because this is an extension of what we just learned, of as a shmeres trumasei, ava medama, where if you mix truma tahira together with chulin, which you didn't make it worthless, rather as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, now it only may be eaten by kahanim. So emaloi, maybe we wouldn't be so strict. The ashmina medama, if the Mishnah mentioned the case of medama mishum d'shchiach, that happened commonly. And therefore, Chazal made a gzeira in such a situation. Av matama, being matama truma chulin, deloy shchiach emeloy. V'yashmi matama medama, mishum deloy kimle b'derabmanei. As we just, there's no concern of kimle b'derabmanei in those cases. Av manasach, that as we began today's shir by learning that by manasach we could have a potential issue of kimle b'derabmanei. So there maybe Chazal did not institute a knas. Kamash Malank, Rabbi Yirmiya, as we explained, that the Mishnah is referring to a case of Rabbi Yirmiya, that there is no concern of Kim Leim with the Rabbinate. Ask the Gemara, will a hard Tani Avud the Rebbe Oven, according to what Avud the Rebbe Oven taught us, B'shainim Hay Omrim Metame Menasech, first they only said that Metame and Menasech Achayiv. And then Chazul Leim Af Medame. And then they also included the case of Medama. The question is, the question is, once Chazal said that you're financially responsible in a case of Metame and Menasech, why was it necessary to add the case of Medame? Shouldn't it be self-understood? Tzricha. There is no Kimle B'drabmanei by Metame. There's no Misa aspect. Ava Menasech, as we learned, that there's a concern of Kimle B'drabmanei. Emeloi, we would say that in such a case, there is no chiyuv mamon. We'll just obligate him for misa because of kimle b'derabmanei. V'yashmin menasech mishum dekamasa legamri. He makes it worthless. Avol metame delemasa legamri. Even though we're learning that no one can eat truma that's tamei or chulin that becomes tamei, it's not totally worthless. Certainly if it's chulin then it's not totally worthless. As we explained, only certain individuals were careful not to eat chulin when it was tamei. And even if it's truma that became tamei, it can't be eaten, but it could be used for fuel. Emaloi, that's what's known in the Mishnah in Perbemamed Likin as Shemen Sreifa. Emaloi, so maybe we would say under those circumstances that Chazal didn't make Gzeira. It's a significant loss. Ava Madame, which is not such a significant loss, the Hefsid Mu'at, because even the Kohen could eat it, just Yisrael may not eat it. So maybe there Chazal weren't strict. That's why Tzricha, all these cases needed to be mentioned. Amar Chizkiya, Dvar Torah, Midaraisa, Echad Shoychev, Echad Mezid, Chayiv. Somebody who is Matama, Manama, Manasech, all of the cases that we learned in our Mishnah, Midaraisa should be held responsible. Because Chizki explains, my Tama, Chizki's opinion is that Hezek Shein HaNikah Shmei Hezek, that even though we can't see the Hezek, it's considered a Hezek, and therefore, just like anyone who does Hezek, somebody who does damage, is going to be held responsible for what he did. So why would a lenient b'shogig? We want the person who was matama or madama menasech to notify the people that what happened over here, and that there may be certain isurim involved in eating these produce. If we're going to tell the person by admitting that he did it, he's going to be held financially responsible, he will be reluctant to notify us what happened, and people will end up eating what they may not eat. Ask the Gemara, if that's our concern, that we want the person to come clean, yachafil b'mezid nami, so then the halacha ought to be by a mezid as well. The person should be tell us what happened. We want to encourage him to tell us what happened. Says the Gemara, hashta lazuki kamachavin adula medele. Why did this person do so? The reason he did so is because he wanted to hurt the next person. So we're not worried that he's not going to disclose. He's going to tell him what happened in order that the person should know I did you bad. Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite. That in all cases he ought to be potter. My tama, hezek shenin nikolay shmei hezek. Since the case of our Mishnah, all of these cases are hezek shenin nikar. So therefore, he's really potter. Of course, the Rishonim already point out when we learn hezek shenin nikar lo shmei hezek, it doesn't mean that you're allowed to do that type of damage to someone else. It's clearly a violation of a haftal aracha kamaycha. It's certainly a violation of leisisnas achicha b'levecha. It's certainly if the halacha is that you're not allowed to tease someone else, einos tvorim, you're certainly not allowed to cause him damage. The issue is only a financial question. The Torah tells us that if you damage someone else, you're going to be financially responsible. So the Gemara is teaching us that a hezek shein haniker, lo shmei hezek, that financial responsibility doesn't exist. So if that's the case, why, if he did it b'mezid, he's chayif? Says the Gemara, shlo yikalech v'echa holuch matama tereshish chaveri. Chazal were concerned that people shouldn't go damage other people in such a fashion, and then say, v'yma, and then he'll say, potani. So the Achrayim already identify a number of nafkaminas between Rabbi Yochanan's approach that says Hezek Shein HaNikah Lo Shmei Hezek and Chizki's approach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Hezek Shein HaNikah Lo Yehava Hezek. And therefore, Medaraisa, you're not Chayiv. It's a Knas. So we know that Moed B'Knas is Potter. So if somebody will admit that he did this, the halacha will be that he's potter, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a moed of a knas. There is actually a machloikus achroinim. What is the halacha by moed of a knas the rabbanon? Everybody agrees that the halacha is that by a knas which was instituted midaraisa, the halacha is moed of a knas is potter. If you admit before they obligate you, you will be potter. The knas that we're speaking about in our Gemara according to Rabbi Yochanan is a knas rabbonon. So Mashal says that moedav knas rabbonon also is potter. The Shach disagrees. And according to the Shach, moedav knas is potter only by knas rabbonon, not by knas d'oraisa, not by knas rabbonon. The Beis Meir suggests a different nafgamina. The Beis Meir says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Oimer Mutter, if somebody says, if somebody thought what he was doing was Mutter, it will also be considered like a Shoigig. We shouldn't penalize him under those situations. But according to Chizkiyah, that Hezek Shere Nikish Mei Hezek, and only by a Shoigig was there a special dispensation, as we learned a moment ago, instituted, that's only in a case of a real Shoigig, but in a case of a Oimer Mutter, there we wouldn't say that we wouldn't be able to say the same. The Chaznish says, when the Chaznish in discussing this concept of Hezek Shere Nikish Mei Hezek, and when we give a Knas and we don't give a Knas, so the Chaznish says that if somebody was metame somebody else's truma because of Pshia, of negligence, the halacha it will be that according to Chizkiyah, he'll be potter. Because, explains the Chazon Ish, what did the Gemara teach us? Why did Chizkiyah say, Chizkiyah really holds that Hezek Shere Nikish Mei Hezek? Why did we say that a Shoigig is potter? Because we want to get him to confess to what he did. So if somebody did it, like we learned from Mezeb, because he wants to do harm to someone else, so then he doesn't mind confessing. But if he did it because of negligence, he's not going to confess. And therefore, says the Chazon Ish, the Chazal will be makel on a Pesheya as well. Says the Chasam Sofer, if somebody was mazik, somebody was contaminated, somebody else's truma, and he did so for his own personal gain, not because he wanted to cause loss to the owner, but he had something to gain. He gives an example. Reuven was tamei, and he moved Shimon's truma out of his way, because not, even though he'll know it contaminated, because it was convenient for him to move it out of the way. So again, says the Chasam Sofer, the Chazal are interested in getting people to confess, and if he's going to confess, he's going to be chayiv to pay for it. That will prevent him from confessing, then the halacha is that he will also be potter, because again, we want him to confess. The Maram Shif says that if somebody did this and other people saw what he did, so what are we trying to do? We're trying to get him to confess. Says the Maram Shif, here I don't need him to confess, because other people saw what he did anyway. Since other people saw what he did, I don't need him to confess. And in those cases, he says that since Chizkiyah holds Hezek Shene Nikar Shmei Hezek, he will be held responsible. Says the Gemara. Tanan. So the Gemara goes into the sugya of Hezek Shene Nikar. We're going to learn in the Mishnah in the next staff. The Mishnah says, HaKahanim Shepoglu Memegdish. Kahanim went and they made the carbon of somebody else pigle. They had the wrong machshava. So said the Mishnah, imazidim, if they realized that by having this thought, that making the carbon pigle and disqualified chayovim, the Tanya law, and the Brisa says, the why did Chazal institute it? B'nei tikkun olam. Because people, kohanim, should be careful not to have these kind of machshavas. V'amrit, says the Gemara, Hezek Shere Nikar Shmei Hezek, if we're going to say it's considered Hezek, Hai Shoigigim Ptur Mimoyalei. In other words, if somebody made this type of Hezek, he should be held responsible, according to Chizkiyah. Just by Shoigig, we want to encourage him to confess. So it should have been just the opposite that the Mishnah should have said. Hai Shoigigim Ptur Mimoyalei, to encourage him to confess, says the Gemara, Exactly, that's really what the Mishnah meant to say. Hachinami kamar. That's exactly what the Mishnah meant to say, that really you should be chayiv, and that's why mezidim achayavim, hashagigim, why were Chazal lenient by shagigim? They were lenient by shagigim, mibnei tikkun olam, because they wanted to make that the person should confess. So the Rashi points out that this halacha that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Daftun Dalid, that if somebody causes somebody else's carbon to be pigel, he will be held responsible, says Rashi, is not only in a case where somebody is obligated to bring a carbon, and therefore, by the kohen making his carbon pigel, the person now has a serious financial loss because he's going to have to bring another carbon. But Rashi says that this is going to be the case even if somebody donated a carbon, a nedava. What halacha is that if something were to happen to that carbon, he doesn't have to replace it. Still, if the kohen deliberately made his carbon pigel, that's a loss. Because I do want to bring a carbon, and by you doing what you did, by you the kohen making my carbon pigel, you caused me a loss, and therefore you should be held responsible. This is a relevant question. If somebody damages somebody else's belonging. An example that I saw the Paiskim discuss is if I broke your glasses. So the question is, how much do I have to pay? Do I have to pay the value of those glasses? And if we think about the value of those glasses, they're not very significant. How much is the value of a used pair of eyeglasses? But for the owner of those eyeglasses, he's perfectly happy with those glasses, and he's not looking for other pair of glasses. And if you break my glasses and I have to go buy a new pair of glasses, it's going to be expensive. So the question is, when somebody is mazik, do they have to pay the value of what they were mazik, or do they have to pay the replacement cost? And one of the rayas that you have to pay the replacement cost is actually the concept that I just quoted. As far as the financial damage, if a kohen made the carbon of someone else, of a carbon, the dove, a pigel, it's not really a very significant financial damage because, as we just learned, it's not a carbon that has to be replaced. So on that hand, it's not a very significant damage. But on the other hand, it is considered, for me, as Rashi said, I want to bring another carbon. Since I want to bring another carbon, that's why the halacha is I have to be held. And for me, it's a real loss, and you would have to pay the value of those glasses. Maser Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar asks another question on the mandama and chizki who holds that hezek shen nikash me hezek. The Braisa says ha'isa malacha b'mechatas. The mechatas are the water that they used to put in the Eifa Para, the ash of the Para Aduma. And the halacha is that if anything was done with that water, it becomes disqualified. Or Parachatis. The halacha is that you're not allowed to work with the para Aduma. Patam Adinei Adam, V'chai B'dinei Shemayim. So let's think about this. In all these cases, you did very serious damage, especially the Para Aduma, as we know, is so hard to find the Para Aduma, and somebody who does damage to the Para Aduma did something of, worked with it, caused a very serious financial damage. The halach is Patam Adinei Adam, V'chai B'dinei Shemayim. But why? If we're going to say, because it's a Hezek Shed and Nikar, the cow is the same cow. But ask the Gemara, E Amrit, Hezek Shed and Nikar, Shmei Hezek, then the halach ought to be B'dinei Adam, Naiman L'chayiv. Answers the Gemara, who Moisulah and who Mefarakla. Rebbe Elazar was the one that asked the question, and he gave the answer. Para Shechnisa L'Revka, the case here is where you brought the Para Aduma into the barn, into the Amnasha Tinek, and that it should nurse. Shetadush, and he also meant that it should work with other animals. So what you did didn't make any damage. What you did was just create a situation that the paro will become disqualified. Meichatos, again, I didn't do anything with the meichatos. What I did was to shock the meichatos. The way they used to weigh objects in those days was that they had a scale, two sides of the scale, and you used to put something on one side and then something else on the other side, and that's what you did with the meichatos. Says, ask the Vavamar of Chazda, Vavamar Rava, Mechatos Sheshaka by Mishkoilis. If that's what you did with the Mechatos, Kshera, it's not considered that you disqualified it. Loikasha answers the Gemara, Ha Begufan, if the water was used, if you have the water in a cup, in a measuring cup, and the way they used to measure is that they had a cup full of water, and they used to put something into the cup, and by the amount of water that got displaced, you know how much what you put in weighed. So that's when you actually use the water. And that's when the water will become pasul. Haba kenegdon. If, however, as we just explained a moment ago, you used the mechatas only as a counterweight, that isn't considered you work with them. So Rav Simcha Zisel Brody, I saw, asks a question. He asks, our Gemara is saying that if I took the Parah Aduma into a place where ultimately that Parah Aduma will be worked with, it's considered as if I did something with the Parah Aduma. So ask Rav Simcha Zisel, why is that more of a work than using the Mechatos to be one side of your scale, where our Gemara is saying that if you use the Mechatos to be one side of your scale, it will not be considered that you did work with it. But if you brought your paraduma into such a place, it is considered as if you did work with it. So Rav Simcha Zisel answers very simple. He says the person who took the paraduma to a place where it will be worked with, even though he didn't work with that paraduma, but his intention, and he set up a situation that the paraduma is actually being worked with. And since he set up a situation where the paraduma is actually being worked with, that's why he's going to be held responsible. Whereas if you use the mechatas to be the other side of the weight on your scale, that isn't that you didn't consider that you did really anything with it, and that's why you will not be considered that you did any hezek, or that the para, it'll become usur. Begufin, like says the Gemara, masa kaved behu. But ask the Gemara, if we're speaking the case of the mechatas, is that it was the measuring cup, and you used it for measuring, so then you did something with it. So again, ask the Gemara, if you, Chizkiah, hold that that's considered, that Hezek Shein HaNik is still considered a Hezek, so then b'day Adam Nami L'chayiv, that if you use the Mechatis in that way, if you use somebody's Mechatis in that way, you should be held responsible. El says the Gemara, Eli V'idi B'Kunagdon. The case of the Mechatis is when you use it for weight. V'loi Kasha. The Brisa that says that they become disqualified is a new consideration. And that's the consideration, the Asach Tate. The Aloch is you have to pay attention, you have to keep your mind to make sure that Mechatas is not disqualified. And therefore, by doing that, by putting it on the scale, you had Hesach Hadas, and Hardaloy Asach Tate. So, but it isn't the Hesach, but in both cases, you didn't do anything to the mechatas themselves. And since you didn't do in either case something to the mechatas itself, that's why everybody would agree that you're not chai b'day Adam. So again, the Gemara continues the subject of Hezek Shein HaNikra. Masur Rapapa. The Mishnah Masechta Bekama, Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis teaches us. Gozel Matbeya V'Nifsal. If somebody stole a coin from somebody else, and then the coin became disqualified. Truma. Or he stole truma v'nitmas, and it became tameh by itself. Chametz, or he stole chametz v'avol over Pesach, and then the chametz was owned by a Jew over Pesach. Aymaloi, it's satisfactory for the ganav, for the gazan, to tell the bailim, harei shochol fenecha, I'm giving back to you what I stole. But ask the Gemara, but all these cases, what I stole went down in value. And if we're going to learn, ask the Gemara, V'amrit hezek shein nikah shmei hezek, so then I should be held responsible as a gazlan and not be able to say Says the Gemara Tiyofta, and from here we indeed see that Hezek Shein Nikar ain't loishmei. That Hezek Shein Nikar loishmei Hezek. There's a very interesting question. Here the Gemara introduced the concept that I could say Harei Shulchan Lefanecha. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Cheshuki Chemed has the following discussion. He says in many hotels there's a refrigerator, there's a mini bar with different food items, and typically those food items are quite expensive. So I came to my hotel room, and I was very thirsty, and there was a bottle of water. And the price for the bottle of water, if I take it from the hotel's mini bar, is 3 times the price that I would pay for the bottle of water if I went to the store. But I'm very thirsty, and I don't want to go out to the store. The store is closed, whatever, middle of the night. So what I decide to do is, I take it, I drink from it, and then tomorrow I'll go to the store and buy the exact same bottle of water, same size, same brand, and put it into the refrigerator where I took it out of from. And the owner of the hotel will never know the difference, and I didn't cause the loaner any loss. It's the exact same bottle I took as what I replaced. Is that permitted or not? So he says, if when I took it, I meant to keep it. So the moment I took it, I was kind it. And the moment I'm kind it, I'm responsible to pay for what I buy. And if I took it with this tension of being a Goslin, there, too, I took it with the intention of being a Goslin, and I have to, so there, maybe I just have to return what I stole, but maybe it's adequate to return something that's equivalent. He says that in all the cases, I have to pay what the hotel charges, and I can't just replace the bottle, and I can't say, Harei Shulchan Lefanecha. Why? He says, the way I understand what he means to say is like this. You could buy a cup of coffee for a certain amount of money. That same cup of coffee, if you're sitting in the lobby of a hotel, of a fancy hotel, will cost you significantly more. It's the same cup of coffee. The answer is that in certain places, the same item may cost you much more than other places. And that's the way to understand this Gemara as well, this story as well. When you took the bottle of water, it's not the same bottle of water when it's in the refrigerator of the hotel versus when it's in the refrigerator of the shop. The price of a bottle of water in the hotel is different than the price when it's in the shop. And when you took the hotel water, that's the price that you have to pay. Says the Gemara, Lema Katanoi. The Gemara wants to suggest that this machloikis of Hezek Shein Nikar is a machloikis tanoim, because we learned in the Braisa, Matam v'manasach, Echad shargi v'echem meizat chayiv, Divir ameya. Rav Yehuda aimer, b'shargi potem meizat chayiv. So says the Gemara, what's the machloikis? My lab akamufki. The mass of a Ramei's opinion is Hezek Shein Nikar Shmei Hezek, and therefore you'll always be chayiv. Or mass of a Rav Yehuda holds Lo Shmei Hezek, and therefore you're really potter, but like we learned earlier in the shir, the mezid Chazal said you'll be chayiv. Says the Gemara, not necessarily at all. Amar Nachma Yitzchok, the Kula Alma, everybody could agree that Hezek Shein Nikar Lo Shmei Hezek. V'hocha, what is the machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda? B'kan tzu shogig otam mezid kamufki. The mass sover, it's all a knas. What you did in these cases is really just a knas. Because Hezek Shein Nikar Lo Shmei Hezek. But Ramei's opinion is, the mass of a contra shogig otam mezid. That Chazal, as we learned, decided to make a knas when you do b'mezid. And then they said that even b'shogig, contra shogig otam mezid. Or mass of a, like contra shogig otam mezid. And therefore, by mezid, Chazal made a gzeira, and not by shogig. Ask the Gemara, Rami de Ramei de Ramei, if that's the way we're going to be explaining their respective opinions, ask the Gemara, Rami de Ramei de Ramei, Rami de Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Hamavashal b'Shabbos. If somebody cooks something on Shabbos, b'shogig, if he did so b'shogig, yoichel, he's allowed to eat that food immediately. B'mezid, if he did so b'mezid, eina lo yoichel, he's not allowed to eat it that day. And b'matzah Shabbos, on matzah Shabbos, the halacha will be that he's allowed to eat it, but he has to wait b'chdei shiyasu. The definition of b'chdei shiyasu is the amount of time it took to cook this food. So if it took you an hour to cook the food, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the food immediately in Matzah Shabbos. You would have to wait on Matzah Shabbos for an hour to eat it, but then you could eat it the Ramega. If you don't have a Shogig, Yoichel Matzah Shabbos, if it was done with Shogig, you could eat it on Matzah Shabbos. Everybody could eat it on Matzah Shabbos. Again, you have to wait B'chdei Shiyasu. But Mezid, if it was done with Mezid, Lo Yoichel Oilamas, the person who actually cooked it may never eat it, and other people could eat it on Matzah Shabbos after B'chdei Shiyasu. Rabbi Yochanan San Leimer, B'shoigig Yoichel Matzah Shabbos, if it was done B'shoigig, it could be eaten Matzah Shabbos L'Acherim V'Loiloi, to pee others, but not the person himself. B'mezid, if it was done B'mezid, then the halacha is L'Yoichel Olamas, it may never be eaten L'Loiloi V'Acherim. So says the Gemara, Kash D'Rameya D'Rameya. So isn't this a contradiction? Ramey and Kash Rabbi Yehuda Rehuda. Here we, in our Gemara we say Ramey was kind of going to show you going to Mezid. And there we see he isn't. And therefore, by Metame Medame Menasech, Ramey was Machmer even B'Shogig. In Vashel B'Shabbos, we find Ramey doesn't make a Gzer Shogig to Mezid. And Rabbi Yehuda just the opposite. Answers the Gemara. Ramey and Ramey like Kasha. How do we reconcile the opinion of Ramey? Kikonis, when was Ramey strict by Shogig, by Drabonon? All the cases of our Mishnah are an Issa Drabonon, because as we've been explaining, they are situations of Hezek Shein and Nikar. Hezek Shein and Nikar, Loish Be Hezek. So it's only Issa Drabonon. And therefore, we have to be stricter. Divrei Soy from Trik Chizik, Yoisim and Divrei Torah. We have to be more concerned about people being lax in the Rabbanon. And that's why Remeya said that not only are we going to be strict B'mezid, we're also going to be strict B'shogig. Av B'deraisa, the case of Mevashel B'Shabbos, is a deraisa. And there Remeya didn't feel that we have to be so concerned. People are not going to violate deraisas. Asked the Gemara, but that's not true. One of the cases of our Mishnah asked the Gemara is a deraisa. The Menasech, the Kokonis, answers the Gemara, even though it's a deraisa, but it's a very different type of deraisa. It's Avodah Zorah. And Mishum Chumrad Avodah Zorah, Konisle, that even though it's a deraisa, Ramey was very strict by that deraisa. Rabbi Yehuda Lakasha, Kilai Konis, when was Rabbi Yehuda lenient? In our Mishnah, where the Isser is an Isser Drabonon, because Hezek Shein and Nikol, Loish Mei Hezek. But deraisa, but Mevashel B'Shabbos, which is a deraisa konis, asked the Gemara, but if that's the case, what about the Menasech of our Mishnah? For Menasech is a deraisa, and yet we see Rabbi Yehuda was not going to show you got the Mezid. Says the Gemara, what's the reason the Chazal institute a knas as a deterrent from somebody doing the same thing again? But here, Mishum Chormad Avodah Kochavim, there we're dealing with Avodah Zorah, people are very careful not to do any Avodah Zorah anyway. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda did not see the reason to be kind of shogi got the mezid in the case of our Mishnah. We just had a discussion in our Gemara about Hamavashel B'Shabbos. One of the concepts that often comes up when we learn Hilchos Shabbos, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph discusses the concept of Bishlach HaBishel. If something it was cooked, and then you cook it again, is the second act of cooking considered an act of cooking? The question is by water. If somebody warmed up water, is there a concept of bishul, and then it cooled off? Is there a concept of ein bishul acha bishul? Some say that by water, there certainly is bishul acha bishul. Why? Because water, once it cools off, the originally warming it up that is gone. Now it's cold again. So what I did originally is gone. Others say that no, even though water that was cooked and becomes cold, obviously is not warm. And if I'm looking for warm, hot water, it doesn't make a difference. Now the original act is gone. But we know there are certain advantages to boiled water. And even if that boiled water cooled off, once it was boiled, it kills the germs or whatever, it already had that advantage. So now the question will be that what will be the halacha? We're learning in our Gemara, the whole concept of, we're learning in our Gemara, the whole concept of Bishul B'Shabbos. Certainly, if your Bishul didn't accomplish anything, the discussion we had wouldn't be relevant. But what will be if you warmed up water? Will we say that the warming up of water is considered an act of Bishul? Or will we say that once it was cooked, it was already accomplished something, and therefore the second act of cooking is not considered an act of cooking? The Ramah says that by water, we certainly hold Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul, and all the halachas that we learned in our Gemara about Bishul Acha Bishul would be a Bishul on Shabbos, would be applicable even by water that was once cooked and then cooled off.